Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, according to international law, an occupying force is responsible for the needs of those who it occupies. That appears to be the case for most cases, but not when it comes to Israel, which has occupied Palestinian land for over 70 years now. But Israel does not pay. Now, the United Nations does in the form of the UN Relief Work Aid, UNRWA, with Washington funding half of the budget. Well, now U.S. President Donald Trump says no more. What does it all mean? Stay with us as we take a look at this on this debate. We're going to start this off crossing over to Ramallah, joined by Press TV's correspondent Mona Kandil. Mona, great to have you with us. Well, please, you fill us in as far as reaction right now on the ground there in the occupied territories to Trump's latest move.
As you were saying, the UNRWA, of course, condemned the move, and this would have negative consequences on the ground. Palestinian Authority officials, of course, slammed the decision. Palestinian Saeb Arikat, the Secretary General of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, said that the pro-Israel bias of Trump's administration has disqualified it from any role in the peace process. And he insisted that cutting the aid to UNRWA means that, as you were saying, the United States is violating international law, because at the end of the day, UNRWA is not a Palestinian agency. It was established in 1949, 1 year after the so-called Israel was created, and after forcing hundreds of thousands of Palestinians to leave their homes and lands. It was established by the United Nations, and the international obligation continues to, it has an obligation, of course, to continue to assist and support the Palestinians until all the problems of these Palestinian refugees come to an end. Also, Palestinian Minister Rami Alhamdallah, Palestinian Prime Minister, had a tweet today saying that the Palestinian Authority rejects the U.S. administration's decision to stop its funding to UNRWA, because at least if it stops its funding, there should be other alternatives. Up till the moment, there are no alternatives. Even if there are other states, European states or Arab states, would not be able to cover this gap, of course, created by the United States. However, the American president was very clear from the first day. He needs to force the Palestinians return back to negotiations and to talk with the Israelis under, of course, the U.S. and Israeli conditions, okay. A matter rejected by the Palestinians here.
All right. Thank you so much for that update. Out of Ramallah, Press TV's Mona Kandil, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program now, journalist and political commentator Richard Millett out of London, and lecturing political commentator Marva Osman out of Beirut. Thank you both for being with us, starting this off now in London. And Richard, when we look at this situation, why do you think that Washington has chosen this time to cut the aid?
Well, because Trump is trying to be constructive in the Middle East. He's trying to get rid of this complete and utter con, this complete and utter lie or fake news, as Trump would call it, that there's this idea that these are all Palestinian refugees when they're not. Most of them have never been born in Israel or the West Bank or Gaza, and they therefore they're not refugees. It's like calling me a Polish refugee because my family was born in Poland originally. The main problem is that these refugees need to now be, well, these Palestinians now need to be incorporated into the countries where they're living, like in Syria, in Iraq, and all the other countries as well.
Okay.
And to even suggest that the Palestinians are refugees in the West Bank and Gaza, which isn't even Gaza, which isn't even ruled by Israel, it's just absurd. And it's obviously British American taxpayers' money. I don't think that the British and the American taxpayer and other taxpayers in other countries appreciate that their money being wasted on this kind of lie.
Okay, well, let me turn to, stay with me, Richard, let me turn to Beirut and get Marva involved in this conversation. So the Palestinians are not refugees. Go ahead, Marva, your take.
$350 million per year to the refugees. But before I start, I don't know why Press TV keeps getting the Zionist, and especially with me, because I practically asked you not to do so. But I'm going to continue for the honor of the anchor, because I appreciate her effort and her job. But to begin by saying there are no Palestinian refugees. Well, you massacred their ancestors. You are still killing them, and you have managed to disseminate them all across the world, especially in areas around the occupied Palestinian territory, which verifies that they are actually refugees. And now you have the audacity to say the taxpayers don't want to pay money after they paid money to kill them. Please stop. Now let us talk of what happened and how Donald Trump actually did that. Donald Trump took that decision along with Kushner, his son-in-law, who's supposed to be the godfather of Mohammed bin Salman, the puppet of the U.S. in the region, which is the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who literally said, and it was on every newspaper, starting from the Zionist newspapers on, who said the Palestinians will have to agree with the so-called peace deal, which is the deal of the century, meaning they either accept the rules that are being put there by Kushner and Trump, or literally they should shut up.
Okay.
No one's going to shut up. And by the way, no one has given the U.S. The right to actually say these are refugees or not. It's not up for them to say, because they have been paying for the past 60 plus years for their massacres.
Okay, stay with me, Marva. Let me get Richard back in on this. Stay with me, Marva. Richard, what about that? That basically the U.S. is trying to force the hand of the Palestinians to the negotiating table, when actually there doesn't seem to be a whole lot left to negotiate. Your take on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic to get the Palestinians to the negotiating table. But people are, my colleague here in Beirut, obviously the racism
I'm not your colleague,
that,
don't call me that, and fantastic to get them on the table. Look, obviously it would be fantastic, because you have to get them out of the hospitals, because they have bullets in their heads.
Go ahead, Richard.
The racism that spews out of her mouth, unfortunately, this is the
kind of immigration and the patronizing that you always bring to us is fantastic. And I should just sit and listen like a little pretty young lady.
Marva, stay with me a little bit. Go ahead, Richard. Let me give him the opportunity to talk. And Marva, I give you the opportunity to talk. Go ahead, Richard.
It's because of this kind of rhetoric that we're hearing that there will never be peace, because these kinds of people, like your guest in Beirut, obviously doesn't want any kind of peace.
We are the people of the land. We own the land. Our ancestors were born here. We were born here. We will retake our land. People like you and Netanyahu will be held in contempt, will be taken to The Hague, and I am very sure of what I'm saying.
Okay, Richard, go ahead.
So, as I'm saying, there is no constituency from this kind of rhetoric for peace. This is the kind of rhetoric which calls for the destruction of Israel, for there to be no Israel. And let me tell you, let me tell your colleague, your guest, Israel will be existing. Israel will fight to the death. Israel will always be there. And Israel needs to protect itself.
Well,
yes, there needs to be a state for the Palestinians.
Richard, the question that I asked you was basically, is there anything left to negotiate? When basically we have seen time and time again, just more and more of Palestinian land basically being taken. And now we have seen what Donald Trump did earlier this year in declaring Jerusalem al-Quds as Israel's capital. So the Palestinians would say, why come to the table with obviously an entity does not have its best interests at hand and seems to be definitely a pawn for Israel?
There's plenty to discuss. I mean, you know, there could be a state on what is called the West Bank that could also incorporate Gaza, could also incorporate parts of Jordan, because, you know, Jordan was originally what was meant for Jordan is a Palestinian state to an extent. It's just ruled by a Hashemite king, a Hashemite royal family. And you could get...
Oh my God, the words just come out, don't they? Look, let me, Marzia, please, let me just conclusively tell you what actually happened when Donald Trump took this decision. We all knew when Donald Trump was coming to the to become the president that he's going to take a lot of radical decisions that would change maybe the foreign policy of the U.S. But what he's being radical is he's taking the U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East to the extreme, which is very dangerous because he has to put in mind that the people will not just sit and abide by what he wants. It is not the apprentice here.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask Maiva. Do you think that this move can actually backfire against Israel and also the United States?
Of course, even despite the fact that there are certain Western countries that are advocates for the Zionist entity, but at the same time, they voiced their concern concerning this move by stopping the funding for the UNRWA. But the issue here that if you look at the funding, for example, let's look at 2017, $350 million from the U.S. They went to social services, education for refugees, and healthcare. But it also 2017, $3.8 billion given to the Zionist entity for military aid. So basically, you're giving $3.8 billion to kill them, and you're stopping the $315 million to just give them some maybe sanity of life, just giving them some sense of life.
What about that, Richard Millett? What about that, Richard Millett? I mean, if this funding has provided some jobs and education for the Palestinians, and this is taken away from them, how likely is it that the situation will actually make tension escalate and cause more clashes?
Well, Marzia, the main problem is the racist policy in Lebanon towards the Palestinians. They don't give the Palestinians the ability to work, to have a normal life. The same of the Palestinians in Jordan,
Richard,
the same of the Palestinians in Syria.
Richard, we are talking about the Palestinians who the Israelis have usurped their land, whether it's their grandfather's land or their father's land. It's still their land that has been usurped by Tel Aviv.
Well, that's a lie. I mean, that's a complete lie, because that's been Jewish land for thousands and thousands of years. You know, that's where the Jewish people originally came from, and the Jewish people were originally expelled from that land.
And is that why the majority of Israelis is that why the majority of Israelis now they descended? They came from Germany, they came from Poland, they came from the United States, but not there. But the majority of the Palestinians actually are indigenous to this land. Come on, Richard, come on. Now let's look at the situation. Is this going to make the situation actually worse for all those involved? Your perspective.
Marzia, half of the people of Israel, or over half of the people of Israel, came from the Arabic lands. I mean, these are Jews that were expelled by Iraq, by Syria. They were incorporated into Israel the way the Palestinian people who are living in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, haven't been allowed civil human rights by the Arab countries. So you've got to look at the Arab governments where
Poland,
the Palestinians reside, and even the Palestinian
started.
Authority.
Marcia, if I can talk more about the aid, please. If you're going to talk about the aid that the refugees were denied, Heather Nauert, the spokesperson at the White House, she literally said it's now a burden. It's a burden to help the refugees, but it's not a burden when $3.8 billion per year, not mentioning the other aid that comes from multi-billion dollar Zionists to Israel, that's not a burden on the U.S. economy. But apparently helping people to stay alive is a burden.
What about that, Richard?
And killing people like, for example, Razan, the medic, Razan, killing her. Razan Najjar is basically a burden now for the U.S.
Okay, well, what about that? Let me get Richard's perspective on this. What about that, Richard? $3.8 billion, of course, that's just the military aid that Washington gives to Tel Aviv. How can that not be a burden? But the other side, as far as helping these Palestinians become educated or giving them some type of health care, be a burden?
Well, it's two different things, really, isn't it, Marzia? As I've said, it's up to the Arab regimes that control Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, and Iraq to give the people living there, the Palestinians who are living there, human rights, the ability to live a normal life, the ability to work and to be educated.
The
Unfortunately, those racist regimes
the
against
to
the
Palestinians give us lessons in human rights, that is laughable.
Go ahead, Richard.
And the other point I was going to make before I keep getting interrupted is that, yes, you know, it's a drain to an extent on the American taxpayer giving money to Israel, but that's what they voted for, that's what the American public votes for, And number two,
the American public, Richard, usually doesn't vote for this, but politicians who may be in the pockets of certain entities. But going back to the subject at hand, I mean, Marva, with we look at the situation that is happening. There are some analysts, though, that say perhaps in the long run, this is going to be good for the Palestinians because it will force them, one, to be united, two, to resist and to understand that's the only way, and three, perhaps, that some other countries can pick up the tab and help them. Your take on that side of things, Marwa?
I do agree on the part that other countries will most definitely pick up the tab because it's unfair. It's unfair Palestinians to be living this way, but the issue at hand right now is yes, others will be picking up the tab, but it will be a huge burden on people who don't have social services, who don't have healthcare, to be able to stand side by side and fight this. You're practically taking the life out of these people, not only throwing them out of their land and throwing them in detention centers as young as 7 and 8 year olds, you're also now taking their schools, you're taking their hospitals, you're taking their medical aid, you're taking their vaccination for their children, and you want to ask them to be able to fight? How can they fight when they are ill? How can they fight when they have no education? This is exactly the plan for them to stop fighting by taking away all of this from them. But trust me, as long as we are there, especially the people who want to liberate Palestine, I think the Palestinians will be in great health, in great social services, and definitely in great educational facilities.
Okay, and on that note, I thank both of you for being with us. We are out of time. Appreciate you. Out of London, journalist and political commentator Richard Millet, and out of Beirut, lecturer and political commentator Marwa Osman. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. See you next time.